Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Trinadapi suniche na tarariva sahishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kivalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. So there's two things I want to read from. First excerpt is from the Nectar of Devotion. The subject, or the chapter, Techniques of Hearing and Remembering, and the particular subject is entitled Expecting the Lord's Mercy. I think that's a good Christmas theme and fits in with your particular wishes. Expecting the Lord's Mercy sounds good. So Srila Prabhupada writes, in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8, it is said, my dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him or her, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of one's past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of the heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his or her rightful claim. Now let's give the context of this statement. First of all, this statement was made by Lord Brahma, the engineer of the universe, 5,000 years ago, when he tried to play a trick on his boss, Krishna. He knew that this 5-year-old boy was his lord and master, but he was finding it hard to believe how his lord and master could live like this amongst the residents of Vrindavan. So he decided to try to play a trick. And that trick was, he stole all of Krishna's cowherd friends and calves and tucked them away in a cave and put them to sleep. And Krishna then played a trick on Lord Brahma by manifesting himself and expanding himself into exactly to look like each cowherd boy and each calf for 1 year so that the mothers would not be in anxiety. It looked just like this is the original cloning. So for 1 year, the parents and the cows thought this was my child, this is my calf. But it wasn't. It was Krishna himself pretending, playing. But the amazing thing was that for this year, the parents and the cows were showing extraordinary affection for their children and calves, because it was actually Krishna, God himself. Therefore, the original loving relationship is with God. That is the original loving relationship. Your relationship of love with God. Then after 1 year, Krishna removed the charade, and Lord Brahma could understand, because he was confused when he saw Krishna exactly at the same spot with all the cowherd boys and calves when he had just put them away. He was confused. And then all those expansions of Krishna changed into their Vishnu Narayan forms. And Brahma felt like this big. He felt that he had been completely humiliated. So then Lord Brahma came and he offered prayers to Krishna. So this was one of the prayers that Lord Brahma offered to Krishna. So let's look at it again. So we should be, according to Lord Brahma, we should be constantly awaiting Krishna's causeless mercy. Causeless means there's no rhyme or reason, can't say we deserve it. But causelessly, out of his free will, out of his love and affection, we can expect the Lord's mercy. Then it says, go on suffering the resultant actions of past misdeeds. That is unavoidable. Of course, for a devotee, those resultant actions are greatly reduced, but still, there's going to be some reaction, so we just tolerate it. Then it said, continue to offer obeisances from the core of the heart. So that's the key element, that when we pray to God, when we offer our respect, it should be from the core of the heart. It should be full love. As your Jesus says, love God with your whole soul, your whole heart, your whole mind, right? That is a perfect instruction. If any Christian follows that teaching of Jesus, they will achieve love of Godhead. That is perfect. Love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. So neighbors, I love you. I must do that. Same thing is taught in the Bhagavad Gita. A self-realized soul is friendly to all living entities. Same teaching. And of course, Jesus said, with your whole heart. So same thing here, from the core of the heart. Then you are eligible to become liberated because it has become your rightful claim. Just like an inheritance. Because you are the descendant of the person who has deceased, you are written in the will, you get the inheritance. So we're all God's children. If we keep ourselves in the will, we'll get the inheritance. So how do you keep yourself in the will? He just explained. Keep offering your love and obeisances from the core of the heart, no matter what is going on, no matter how much turbulence and suffering there is, just stay the course. All right, Prabhupada now explains this in the Nectar of Devotion. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experience because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. If one has finished material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. This is the same concept that is explained in Bhagavad Gita, karma, akarma, and vikarma. And the concept that Krishna explains also, one who sees inaction in action, and action in inaction. Krishna says, and this is very difficult to understand, but it's the same thing here. The path of liberation is by means of Krishna conscious activities, hearing, chanting, continuing your Bhagavatam home study program, and show everybody your diploma for second canto. What did you get for the second canto? 99 point. That's amazing. 99 point. Point what?
0.14.
Oh, okay. That's 0.14. It's not just 99. It's 99.14. Congratulations. So these are Krishna conscious activities. Mostly, primarily, hearing and chanting or praying. Okay. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he or she is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. And that, not just, well, you, yes, you've understood this. But all of us have impediments from time to time. I'm sure you've had impediments. We've all, but you especially can appreciate the impediments that you have to deal with. So that's why I chose this particular section, to give you encouragement. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy, which is what you were saying when I first got here tonight. We were talking, and you were basically saying the same thing. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes days in that spirit, it is certain that he or she is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, one earns the rightful claim to enter into the kingdom of God. So, we all know, and you have said it, how much you miss your father and how attached you are. So just think, you can join him and be with Krishna if you continue your Krishna conscious activities. It won't be long. You will also be with him, with Krishna. How does that sound? It's not a dream. I'll read it again. If one passes the days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. Do you believe Prabhupada? Then? Hallelujah. By such activities, one earns the rightful claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word in Sanskrit is dayabhak. Dayabhak refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. And now for the second thing that I picked. All right. Now before we do the second one, let's do another short bhajan. Okay? As Josh put me in a very good mood. I was already in a good mood, but you put me in a higher mood. So Josh, thank you. You're very kind and gracious to me. All right. All right, what do we got here? We need to go here. That's a little loud. That needs to go down. There we go. All right. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya. Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya. Very good. Because of your association, that was a spontaneous new creation for me. I cannot repay you for that which you have inspired me. All right. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this next little section has to do with Dhruva, the 5-year-old boy who was not allowed to sit on his father's lap. His father had 2 wives, and the father was more attached to the co-wife than he was to Dhruva's mother. And the co-wife, Dhruva's, you could say, stepmother, would not allow him to sit on his father's lap. In fact, she said, "You will have to take your next birth from my womb, then you can sit on your father's lap." And the 5-year-old boy took it very, very to heart. And he went to his real mother and said, "Is that true?" And his mother explained that, well, Your father loves the other queen more than me. So the boy became very angry, and he said, I want a kingdom greater than anybody else's. And his mother said, well, people go to the forest and they worship God, and sometimes they get their desires fulfilled. So the five-year-old boy left home and went to the forest. And Narada Muni, the great preacher, saw and heard about this young boy. So he tested him at first to see how determined he was. And Narada said to the boy, you're only 5 years old. You should be playing. You can do this austerities and worship when you get older. But the young boy was very determined. He said, no, if you're not going to help me, go away. So when Narada saw that he was determined, then he taught him bhakti. He taught him how to worship the Lord. He gave him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. But Narada also gave him a very good piece of valuable information. So that's why I picked this one. It's so applicable for all of us. So here's what Narada said. I'll first do the Sanskrit. Gunadikan mudang lipsed anukroshang gunad mat maitring samadad anvichchen natapayar abibhuyate. If you don't mind, would you please repeat? Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. So this instruction by Narada is very good for those who are trying to become saintly, for those who are trying to advance in higher spiritual subjects. I certainly will.
In other words, the three ways.
Yes, I was going to do that. But it's good that you asked. So when you meet someone more qualified, you should be happy. Oh, I've met someone who is more advanced than me. And that could be materially or spiritual. In other words, don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Oh, this person has more money, or is more successful, or is more handsome, or more intelligent. We shouldn't be jealous. We should be happy. Oh. And how to do that? Because elsewhere it says, the reason this person has these better qualities, somehow in a previous life, he has worshipped God, and he has gotten God's blessing. That's all. He's got the mercy. There's no need to be jealous. Then, when you meet someone less qualified, compassion. Again, don't be jealous or envious. Don't become, oh, you wretch. No, we should be compassionate. Very good. And then, when you meet someone on the same platform, become friends. So the threefold miseries that Narada is saying here, miseries caused by one's own body and mind, miseries caused by others, and then miseries caused by nature, the environment, the weather, earthquakes. Uh-oh. Oops. Did I? Uh-oh. Can you fix Krishna? It was too close to the edge. I just caused an earthquake for Krishna.
Boy, he's not going to be happy.
Oh, boy. No, you'll be okay. I'm the one who's going to get a rough ride. All right, so Krishna's okay now?
Yeah, he's okay.
Okay. So, should I do it again, or is...
No, I got it.
Thank you. I want to make sure. Okay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious. When we find someone less qualified, we deride. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. In general, Prabhupada, conditioned souls. These are the causes of all material tribulations. The great sage Narada therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate toward him, just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. Everybody want to be happy? Then we have just gotten some very good advice from Narada Muni. All right. So, should we do Arti and Kirtan? Sham, can I ask?